Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Come on.
Welcome to Life Love. This is George G. And the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful, Dr. Marcy Beagle. Marcy, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Welcome back. Dr. Marcy is CEO of Behavior and Beyond. She's a parenting and behavior expert, a mental health consultant, and a speaker. Excited to have you back on. Marcy, tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
So my personal life, I just moved to a brand new apartment that I have been spending most of my personal energy thinking about how to redecorate and really settle into. It feels like the perfect time as things are shifting and opening back up to be having a new beginning. So I am delighted that my life is aligning with what's happening in, at least in New York, in the world, I should say.
Nice.
I do what I do. I work with families and I work with adults to understand how to navigate humanness better because I think humans are fascinating. I also really believe that if we as the adult put the right tools in place for our children, all behavior can change. There can be happier homes. There can be more laughter. And most importantly, your children can grow up to be wonderful, happy, fantastic, amazing humans. And sometimes we need a few additional tools than what naturally, organically is in our head. So that's why I do what I do.
Amen. I think that's well said. I fancy myself a relatively capable, resourceful human being, but if I were just to rely on my intuition and impulses in raising my children, I would fall flat on my face. So I appreciate everything you just said. And we were talking about
somehow.
No, go ahead, please.
Somehow in parenting, it always feels weird to ask for help, and parents think they're supposed to innately know exactly what to do to raise their kids. And that's just not true. Just like everywhere else in our lives, we ask for help. We go to business school to learn how to run a business. We get a trainer to know how to get our physical health in order. We sometimes need to ask an expert what the best parenting strategy is for our child, because what we organically know doesn't always match up with what they need.
Yeah, that's fascinating, right? It's like, I want to be a perfect parent. I want to be a perfect dad. And so me thinking that I need to ask for help, well, that would shatter my whatever I have built up.
Yeah. Yet we get mentors for all sorts of other ways and places. Asking for help as a parent isn't a sign of failure as a parent. It's a sign of strength. It's knowing that none of us were designed to do any of it alone. It takes a village. So invite the village in if you don't organically have it there with you.
I like it. So out of the frying pan into the fire. Needs to explain to my kids why it is that we had to wear masks and about this spiky ball that they see everywhere, which is terrifying. And now, Marcy, the Ukraine conflict comes up.
Yes. We go from one difficult conversation to another difficult conversation to another. And some of the principles are the same about how to have hard conversations about the world with your kids. And some of them are different when we're talking about a pandemic versus a war. And so many parents are confused about how to talk to their kids about this because we want to protect our children from the fact that there is violence in the world, that there is this type of destruction and heartache and, quite frankly, cruelty. Yet, we can't not talk to them about it because they're going to hear about it. They're going to hear about it in school. They're going to hear about it on social media. They're going to hear about it on the news that just happened to be, you know, a snippet in between songs on the radio. They're going to hear about it. And you want to make sure that you are talking to your kids about the story you want them to get about this war. Doesn't mean having a really long conversation, short and sweet, is generally going to be the best way to do it, but frequently.
Short and sweet and frequently.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. So I want to talk about just specifically, obviously, how to talk to kids about Ukraine. But you talked about, is there an overall framework that you say, okay, we're having a tough conversation about COVID, Ukraine, whatever it might be, that you say, here's some of the rules of engagement. Is that the right question?
Yeah. So part of it is opening the stage and saying, I'm going to tell you a few things about what I know is going on. As the grown-up, you want to be giving them the information. There's a war, Russia's invading the Ukraine, and a lot of people are getting hurt. If your kid's real little, that's all you're going to say. Mm-hmm. If your kid's older, depending on their age, you're going to add in more. And then you're going to pause and say, what questions do you have? They might already know a whole bunch of information, have a whole bunch of questions, and have a whole bunch of feelings, and it's just going to pour on out and they're going to share everything. Or they might be like, I don't know what that means. And so the next step is then, they don't have any questions, to tell them what that means in the world, right? A little bit of that framework of there are some people who are doing these things. And then always bring it back to your home. What does that mean for your family? Are you physically safe? Are your loved ones, who your children personally know, physically safe? Because that's really important. And then add in, what are you going to do? How are you going to help? How are you going to contribute? Think about that. Can be as simple as saying, we're going to send some love. We're going to send some prayers to the people who are being hurt. It can be that simple. It can be, we're going to send money because we know donations are needed. It can be, we're going to go find Ukraine businesses and buy from them. Whatever it is that your family wants to do to support this effort, let your kids know so they understand we all participate in one way or another.
I love it. So the starting point is, want to sit down and have a conversation, or we're already sitting down, we're at the breakfast table, we're having a conversation, going through our regular routine. And then it's, you know, hey, little Marcy, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but there is a war going on in a country called the Ukraine. And then we talk about, here are sort of, for lack of a better term, the facts as we know them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now, we as adults always think that the hard conversations have to happen when we're sitting down and we're face to face and we're going to do this thing. We get kind of serious about it. Kids are not like that. When, especially, you know, kids under 10, if they're in motion, it's going to be easier. The walk to school or the drive to school, right? When you're on your way to soccer practice, on your way to dance class, you know, when you're walking home from a friend's house, being like, you know, have you heard about this? I wanted to talk to you about it. How are you feeling? You know, or if you happen to walk into a store and the news is on and they hear something, be like, did you hear that? Because there's some big stuff and I want to check in with you about it. So it's not a serious conversation. It's a however life unfolds.
Nice. Okay. And is that something that's then, I don't want to say better or preferred to, if there's something that I want to talk to my kid about, if I want to talk to James about Ukraine, I just can look for an opportunity to sort of serendipitously bring it up, or when we're in motion, versus we don't need to schedule a meeting and I don't need to send him a calendar invite.
Well, I mean, if your kid is really good on the calendar invites, I fully support that. I would suggest trying both.
Okay.
My preference with kids, and I find that most of the kids that I am around, and I'm around a lot, tend to be that natural organic conversation is better for them. Yet there are always certain kids that when they have something important to talk about, they want to sit on the couch and really talk to you. And so try both and see which resonates better with your child. See what actually gets them talking as opposed to you talking. And then from there, keep moving forward, because this is not going to be a one and done conversation. This might be a daily conversation, a daily check-in, depending on how heavy it's sitting on your child's heart, or it might be in every few days. You got lots of opportunities to learn what's going to work best for the flow in your family. You might have a morning kid versus an evening kid. Hmm. Check that stuff out too.
I like it. So we've all been asked by somebody or a parent when we were little, what'd you learn at school today? And I've certainly fallen prey to that as well. I asked my kid what they learned at school today or something like that and just get nothing back. So when I'm trying to ask, hey, we're grabbing an ice cream and war in Ukraine and here's what's going on, what do you think about that? And I just get kind of a blank stare. How can I better ask a question?
I would ask, have your teachers said anything about it? Because a lot of teachers are using it as lessons and talking to their kids about it because someone brings it up. Have any of your friends shared anything about this? Now, if you have a tween or a teen, I would also ask them if they've seen anything on social media. A lot of kids are learning a ton about this war on TikTok, which is amazing and terrifying for me all at the same time. Because it means that your kids are seeing things that really can be impactful for them. So you want to be checking in. Have you seen anything about this?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Those real-time videos allow us to inside experiences we couldn't have before, and that's phenomenal. But it's scary when your 11-year-old is seeing pieces of war.
There's no doubt about that. And there's probably a deeper conversation to be had about why is your child on TikTok when they're 11 years old, but that's neither here nor there, Marcy. All right.
That's
so
a different episode completely. Social media and kids, we could go
that is
another
for sure.
round for that.
So being able to hopefully just draw out of them whatever they're interested in sharing or whatever's on their mind or their heart, and then helping to sort of frame what that means. What does it mean? Mm-hmm. And that I can definitely, that'll be a series of conversations, certainly. Yeah. And then are we physically safe? I think that seems to make a lot of sense as a question.
Mm-hmm. The are we physically safe allows them to ground in the fact that while people are getting hurt, am I at risk? Mm. Right? We're hearing about bombs falling. We're hearing about cities being destroyed. And is that going to happen here? Is that going to happen to my house? Is that going to happen in my home? Is always where we go. Not because your child is selfish and egocentric, but because our own survival becomes the forefront in many conversations. If I am safe, then I can help others, right? We put on our own oxygen mask before helping someone else. If I know I am safe, I live in New York City, I'm very safe right now. I have a lot more capacity to help people far away because I know that I'm not at risk. If I'm at risk, well, then I have to do things to make sure I am physically safe. And your child is going to start thinking that way. What's going to happen now? And their anxiety will go up. So you want to bring their anxiety down by letting them know if they are. If they're not, if you happen to be somewhere where you are not safe, then you start talking about what you are doing that helps you be safe. Mm. Now, whether that's because you're sleeping in a particular place that you know is safe, maybe you talk about the food that you have in storage. Maybe you talk about the water supply that you have. But when you are not safe, you have to talk about what you are doing for your children that is helping to protect them. You can't do everything, but this is what we are doing. because actions combat anxiety. And no matter what the dynamic is, that will always help. What are we doing?
Nice. Actions combat anxiety. That's true for us grown-ups too. Mm-hmm. In the reality that that 99% of us, probably me included, if you just gave me a blank map, could I tell you where Ukraine was right now? Well, let's be honest, I'm not 100% sure, probably, but maybe not. So why would my 5-year-old have any idea if Ukraine was, you know, just south of Russia or, you know, 2 blocks away from us, right? They have no idea.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. They don't really have that scope. And for them, the world sometimes feels really huge or really small, and they don't know how far different things can go. So that's really important. Yeah.
Right. And that actions combat anxiety and just letting them know, hey, there's a lot of things that we can't do to help people in Ukraine, but these are the things that we can do and that we are doing. Would you like to do that?
Yeah. Or we are doing this as a family, right? Mm. We're going to go through and we're going to collect clothes to send. We're going to go to a center that is collecting items and we're going to help them pack it up. We're going to each take $20 out of our bank accounts and donate it, you know, so that they can feel like they are part of, you know, if they have their own money, maybe they give $1 for every whatever of yours. If they don't, then talk about the collective fund. Whatever you're doing, have them be part of it. So yes, there are certainly ways to ask them if they want to do something, ask them if they want to participate. And there are other things that just as a parent, you lead the conversation and say, this is what we do. When people are in trouble, this is how we help them. And it allows them to build empathy, to build compassion, to build that idea that the world is bigger than themselves, which using a really heartbreaking global situation to teach your children to be better humans is really the end game of it all. It's why we have these hard conversations so that they can learn what do we do when it happens.
I like it. That makes a lot of sense. That sounds easy enough, Marcy. I should be able to do that.
All right. Well, go have a few conversations, come back and let me know how it goes. And then we'll, you know, problem solve from there because it is that easy. Right? It is, you follow these steps and feelings come up so it can feel kerfuffly going through it, but that's part of the conversation. Be bold enough to tell your kids that it's hard for you, that you feel sad, that you're not sure what to do, but here's where you're going to start. When we share our feelings as parents, we let our kids know that it's okay for them to share theirs.
I love it. And I'm thinking about just all the different scenarios and all the important conversations that we have to have and how it probably does make more sense to just be in motion versus building up this big thing. Like I need to talk to my kids about whatever, sex, Ukraine, COVID. I don't need to make it this big, uncomfortable sit down kind of a thing. So unless my kid is an expert at calendaring and loves it.
Exactly. And remember the difference between your uncomfortability and your kids. Mm. Our kids, a lot of times, don't have the same hangups. They don't have the same history. They don't have the same, like, oh, this is a taboo subject that we have as adults. And so they're like, cool, let's talk about that. Great, on to the next. And so manage your own anxiety, manage your own icky feelings about having to talk to your kids about these big things so that you can go in without that as part of the conversation. Sadness, when a situation is sad, yes. But awkwardness, that's yours. And you don't want to pass that on to your kids.
Love it. Well, Marcy, people are ready for your difference-making tip, even though you've already given me a big list. What do you have for them?
So I have two. Awesome. One of them comes back to when you asked about school. Talk to your teachers. Send them an email and say, hey, I've been talking to my kids about what's happening. I wonder what you're sharing in school so that you can build that bridge and partner. A quick email to build that is going to make a huge difference in what your kids understand. So that's one. And two, remember that this is all about humanity. These big conversations, whether it's about a war or COVID or anything else that's happening in the world, it's about teaching your children that other people's lives matter, that other humans are out there struggling, and you're going to help make it better. because it gives them perspective on their own struggle. And ultimately, we all want to have a world full of more amazing humans.
I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on. Yes, we want more amazing humans, Marcy. More love amazing it. Humans.
Yeah. But
thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Absolutely. It has been a delight to be here. So the best place to find me is my website, which is drmarcie.com, drmarcie.com. You can also engage with a bunch of my content on my YouTube channel, which is Dr. Marcy Beagle on YouTube.
Excellent.
So come find me, chat with me, let me know your thoughts, and let me know your questions.
Perfect. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Marcy your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to drmarcie.com. It's drmarcie.com. Find her on YouTube at Dr. Marcy Beagle. It's B-E-I-G-E-L. And check out all the great resources and do an even more amazing job talking to your kids than you were already doing. Thanks again, Marcy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.